Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen up, San Diego.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
It's the end of the workday, but Gwen and Chris is just getting started. New year, same Gwen and Chris.
Well, you don't need a shrink to tell you that this guy's a raving psycho.
With Tony Quinn Jr.
He's supposed to say that, but on the other hand, don't try to jive me, brother. Like, you're not pulling a banana
not
in the tailpipe.
And Chris Ello.
Players you can go to on his bench. See, Psycho came in there. Seiko, Pulliam had a nice... I didn't mean to call him Psycho.
Gwen and Chris help you get home from work. Now on 97.3 The Fan.
4:04 on the clock, hour number two of Gwen and Chris, and we got our first audible. We were going to talk national championship, but...
we decided we didn't know enough about the game. It's kind of true. I mean, it's Clemson and LSU. It's been so long. I mean, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago that they played the semifinal games?
Was it that long ago?
I guess it was 2 weeks ago.
But still, that's a long time.
It's a long stretch. December 28th, and yes. Today is January 13th. So, yeah, 2 weeks ago. But, you know, the regular season was about a year ago.
It feels like
it. And they're deciding the national championship tonight. So,
we're going to audible and go back to this Houston scandal. It seems to be such a big
deal.
Topic today. And in front of me, I have Jeff Luhnow's...
do you want to pretend to be Jeff Luhnow so that I can pick you apart, or would you want me to be Jeff Luhnow so you can pick me apart?
Let's go. I'll be Jeff Luhnow, and you can pick me apart.
All right, go
ahead.
Ooh,
I like this game.
Go right ahead. You're Jeff Luhnow. Read your statement, please. And if you're just tuning in, by the way, Luhnow's the general manager of the Astros. He and A.J. Hinch, because of this cheating scandal, were suspended for a year and then subsequently fired by their owner today. All right. So you're up to date on the news.
I accept responsibility for...
hang on a second. You expect responsibility? Give me a break. Go ahead.
I accept responsibility for rule violations that occur on my watch.
No, you don't, because wait till we hear the rest of your report, because that's just a bunch of BS you saying that.
Well, you don't know that yet, because I haven't finished the rest
of
my
statement. But I've read
the rest. As president of baseball operations and general manager of the Astros, I apologize to the Astros organization, Astro fans, and the Houston community for the shame and embarrassment this has caused. I am deeply grateful to Jim Crane for the opportunity to lead baseball operations.
All right, that was written by a lawyer. Okay. That whole sentence, that whole paragraph was written by somebody, by a lawyer, his lawyer.
I am not a cheater.
Okay.
Anybody who has worked closely with me during my 32-year career inside and outside of baseball can attest to my integrity. I did not know rules were being broken, as the commissioner set out in his statement. I did not personally direct, oversee, or engage in any misconduct.
Who did?
Blah, blah, blah.
The sign-stealing initiative was not planned or directed by baseball management. The trash can banging was driven and executed by players, and the video decoding of signs originated and was executed by lower-level employees.
Oh, people
working,
under you.
Working with the bench coach. I am deeply upset that I wasn't informed of any misconduct, because I would have stopped it.
No,
I agree with Mr. Crane.
Wow.
That our baseball operation team has achieved far more positive beyond this significant negative. Many very good people have worked and continue to work for the Astros organization. I am extremely proud of the many executives throughout the industry who were trained and promoted in our department. Signing off.
Nice knowing you,
Jeff
pal.
Luhnow.
Nice knowing you.
Hell no.
Jeff Luhnow's name is going to be forgotten.
So what did you think about my statement, Chris?
Well, I thought that the first sentence was a bunch of malarkey, because you're just setting me up to tell me that, you know, apologize for everything that you did, but now you're not going to apologize. You're apologize. It's a typical statement that's made. You apologize for what you won't own up to doing. You're apologizing. I accept responsibility for everything, and then you say that you didn't do anything.
Right.
So that's the typical response that most of these people have. I think you're pretty arrogant to talk about the fact that all of this was handled by people that were lower level employees. I guess janitors and people ushers and hot dog salesmen were involved in this thing. And you know what? Anytime you say that this kind of thing was happening under your watch, you explain to us that you didn't know anything about it, you're basically telling me that you're dumb. And I just find it hard to believe that you're dumb.
Just don't tell me that you didn't hear you didn't have any idea.
You never heard one trash can
on,
bang.
Man.
I know.
Come on.
That's it. That's the problem.
Especially if what's in the report by the commissioner is that AJ Hinch did tell his players he discouraged them from doing it. Now, he is equally complicit in all this because, in my opinion, you saw it, and despite you knowing it was wrong and trying to stop it,
you still
allowed it to go on. And you mean to tell me a guy who was uncomfortable with it didn't mention to his boss, hey,
you're aware, we're cheating a little bit.
We got something going on. These guys, I've tried to pull it out. I've ripped out a TV. It didn't work. I'm pretty sure AJ is smart enough to cover his backside on this.
Yeah.
The only way to do that is to talk to Mr. Jeff Luna.
Yeah, Jeff Luna just in that statement throws every single person in
everybody.
The organization the bus except for himself. But he does apologize. What are you apologizing for? You didn't do anything wrong, according
to
your statement.
For his lack of knowledge, apparently.
Well, according to that's the only thing you might be able to apologize for, because according to you, you didn't do anything wrong. I don't think Jeff Lunau's name is going to be remembered much beyond this month. I think he'll surface somewhere as a scout in about 3 or 4 years, maybe for the Tigers or something, and we'll just shuffle him off.
Yeah.
I have no respect for him whatsoever. And you know what? After having, talk with Jerry Hairston Jr., and if you missed that interview in the last half hour, of course, all of our interviews you can catch on our website at 973thefansd.com. But Jerry Hairston Jr. brings up the whole other side of this issue, which is really, really important here. We focus on the perpetrators of the crime, which are Jeffrey Lunau and A.J. Hinch and the Houston Astros. We don't focus on the people that were the victims of this cheating, and that is all the teams that the Astros beat because they cheated.
Yu Darvish almost was ruined by that playoff.
Yeah.
I mean, he subsequently signs with the Cubs, has a horrible first year where he thinks it's him the whole time.
Right.
And listen, there might have been some tipping going on a little bit, but as Jerry said, I remember that game. They didn't miss anything, Chris.
Right.
Nothing.
Well, yeah. And Kershaw had a 4-1 and a 7-4 lead in game 5.
Right.
You give Clayton Kershaw a pair of 3-run leads in any game, he's not going to lose those leads unless it's the World Series, and then people say he choked. Maybe he didn't choke.
Now, listen, I don't know if these numbers I'm about to read you guys are true, but they're kind of starting to pop up on Twitter.
Okay.
Tyler Talk Sports on Twitter has home and away splits for that 2017 playoff run.
For the whole playoff run.
And it is damning.
Okay.
It is definitely damning. Altuve, 472 average, 513 OBP.
Oh, my goodness. .472 average?
.472 average.
At home?
At home.
What was he on the road?
.143.
Wow. Okay.
Correa, .371, .421, .743.
Splits. And then on the road?
.211, .231, .395.
My goodness.
Bregman, .273, .273, .342, and .515 away, .154, .175, .333.
Man.
The only guy that is really worth his salt in terms of these particular numbers is Gurriel. He hit .303 at home. He hit .306 on the road. His on base was down, though. Everybody's on base is completely a lot down in most cases.
Right. It's pretty, I mean, and the Astros don't think that we're not going to consider their world championship less than on the level, they're badly mistaken.
they're
because all of this
mistaken.
Stuff is going to keep coming out, and more of this stuff is going to keep coming out. And I'll go back to what Jerry Hairston Jr. said. I mean, already Aaron Judge is tweeting out that he's angry because he lost out on an MVP to Jose Altuve, who had unbelievable numbers that year, but maybe they really were unbelievable.
Do you remember there were talks of Dave Roberts getting fired after those two World Series losses?
Of course. Of course.
That's crazy. Yeah. We got to get to break. And just to show you how big this story is, we haven't talked very much about football at all. But that will come to an end our next segment. When we return, Channing Crowder will join us to talk playoff football. What a weekend it was. This is Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. But
all right, we're down to the final in college football, LSU and Clemson. That game will kick off in about an hour. We'll keep you up to date. It's Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. We are also down to the Final Four now in the National Football League. And joining us to talk some NFL playoffs, Radio.com NFL insider Channing Crowder. Insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Channing Crowder is one of my favorite guests. Love having him on to talk some football. How'd you like the games this weekend, Channing?
Oh, man, I love this football. There was so much parity in the playoffs this year, AFC and NFC. I'm loving these games, and I don't think these championship games are going to be any different. They have some great players. They have a good quarterback there. There's so much diversity with a Patrick Mahomes against the Ryan Tannehill. You know, Derrick Henry runs after him. Patrick Mahomes in this thing. I love what's going on in the NFL playoffs right now.
Channing, as a former linebacker, explain to me the psyche of trying to tackle a guy like Derrick Henry. It just seems like once he gets three full strides, you gotta have your heart and mind and soul into wanting to tackle him at that point.
Bro, and you hit it on the head. You have to be dedicated to this one play and this one second that this grown man is about to try to run through your chest. You just see what happened to Earl Thomas, and I love Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas is one of my favorite coaches.
Yes,
He came out and talked trash about Derrick Henry, saying that the New England Patriots didn't want to hit him, and they have a different approach to the game. I've never seen somebody stiff arm a guy in the small of his back. Did y'all see that? No.
He turned him around first and then stiff arm in the small of his back.
Yeah.
He mushed him and spent him 180 degrees and then pushed him in the small of his back into another defender. I've watched football, played football for 20-plus years, watched it for over 30 years. I have never seen that before. But, man, I played Marshawn Lynch against his time. I played AP in Minnesota before the D's. I played some guys that just had some stuff. It was a bunch of different guys. You literally, it's not a game overall smart. You can't do this on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Every Sunday, and you see it second and three, second and four, and you're like, you know what? They're about to try to make this third unmanageable, and they're going to run this grown man straight at my chest. And you have to make that decision before the ball snaps. They're going to run in there and just try to throw every ounce of God-given weight, size, ability that you have into this dude. And don't hit him in the throat enough, though. Go straight for the hips and knees. Because if you're trying to be a big man, you're going to get embarrassed in front of your family, and they're not going to want to ride home with you. So go hip, knee. Go hip, knee, and then you have to dedicate your life to this tackle at the time. And I'm going to tell you, Marshawn, me and Sean are cool. We'd hang out when he was in Buffalo. We'd hang out, you know, Friday night before the game. I remember hitting Marshawn sometimes, and half my body would go numb. Now, he was fine, but I felt like even though he got tackled, I got the worst through this. Because I can't feel my entire arm or leg on the right side of my body.
And I would think that would mean that for the next play, you're
a little harder to do it on the next play,
right?
Yeah. And they send him right back at you on third and one.
That's how I said it. You can't make that decision on Thursday. You got to make that decision on third down. And, I can't feel my neck. I'm about to hit him again and again. Yeah, those running backs now, and I'm telling y'all, what their team is doing. Three games, two in the postseason, 180 yards plus in three games. Last week, what was it, 30 for 195? What Derrick Henry's doing right now, this is a throwback to what football used to be. This is Walter Payton and Jim Brown, and this is what football used to be in the 80s and 90s. And Mike Vrabel, give hats off to Mike Vrabel and that coaching staff. They took what they had, and they made chicken a la king out of the chicken they had, because what they're doing right now, this is the football I watched when I was a kid. I didn't know you could still win a championship or go this deep in the playoffs with this style of football, but what they're doing is genius, and Mike Vrabel is doing an amazing job in Tennessee.
Channing Crowder is with us, former NFL defensive tackle and tackler of Marshawn Lynch, a radio.com NFL insider. Channing, on the other side of the ball, because that's the game that, you know, shocked me the most, what happened to Baltimore's running game? I mean, this is a running game that was absolutely unstoppable all season long, won 12 consecutive games. I know Lamar Jackson ended up with a bunch of yardage by the time it was all over, but Mark Ingram didn't get off at all, and you know, by the time they looked up, it was too late for that running game.
That's what it was. I really felt as if Mark Ingram's, you know, inefficient carries and really lack of production, he was kind of the energy to that team. So when I saw what the Titans were doing, what they really did, they just matched up and they started chasing the motion guy. Because, you know, Ravens try to get you outnumbered. They take that 11th guy and they're running back and forth and back and forth, and guys try to roll safety, and then Lamar gets that edge. You saw Tennessee. Tennessee loaded up. They loaded up the middle of the defense with it, Jarrell, it's Casey, and all those guys, and then they had their DBs running with the motion guy. And wherever that motion guy stops, their safety would be the contain guy on that. And it was genius. Now, they left the guys man-to-man on the outside, and that's where I would have to say I was impressed. I didn't know that what Logan Ryan and those defensive backs could cover the Ravens man-to-man. A.J. Brown, you know, Hollywood Brown killed the Dolphins on in the end, really killed every team in the league this year. But they messed up man-to-man with those Ravens receivers, which was surprising to me. But the scheme the Titans did, they manned up and whenever anybody moved, they just stayed on their ground. He's going to create another gap, and when he creates that, you know, there's a C gap over there. He's going to create a D gap. I'm going to just run over here and send it because it's my man. Their scheme worked, and then once they started turning, once they started, really the time of possession got out of hand, it felt as if the Ravens panicked a little bit. And that surprised me too, because I love John Harbaugh, and even the loss last week, I can't tell you anything. I don't like Jim that way. Jim go to hell. I like John Harbaugh. But I felt as if that was the first time I ever seen John Harbaugh blink. Approaching a game. Like, he flinched in that game, and I saw that, and that was just, to be honest, just another shot or another, you know, just some more accolades that I got to give to Vrabel, because this young, two linebacker like me, this young head coach is out-coaching, not just out-playing, because he doesn't have the talent of some of these teams. He is out-coaching these veteran-respected coaches, Harbaugh. The week before, he outcoached Belichick with the team and he ran a minute and 36 off the clock, you know, switching that rule with the delay of game stuff. Like, you're watching Vrabel, and he's just impressing me, but they're putting guys in situations that I personally get defensively Tennessee to deal with. So we are going to see this weekend, because that person is going to this top step.
He is
the next coming of anything you want to say about quarterbacking in the NFL. Down by 24, scored four touchdowns, had four touchdown passes in a quarter in the postseason. The only other guy to do that was Doug Williams back in the 1870s, I believe. Like, we're going to see, and as much as I'm playing with the Titans, I'm a vet, man. I know y'all watch a lot of sports. I watch a lot of sports, so I want to officially improve my life while watching sports. And if I have to gamble, I'm going to gamble this game. I'm going to bring Kansas City. I got to increase my points spread to work itself out. But I think, I don't know if Tennessee has enough in that secondary, like we're talking about, to be able to cover Kelsey, to be able to cover Hill, to be able to, you know, run with Damian Williams out of the backfield. And that's what got him going, was back out the backfield. With all that talent in the receiving corps, Damian Williams and running those vertical routes out of the backfield is what opened up the offense for him last week. And I don't know if Tennessee will be able to do that, especially with their linebackers running with Kelsey, their linebackers running with the running backs of Kansas City. We're going to see now. It almost pains me to doubt the Titans, but I got to do it because KC, and I think when I talked to y'all before, I am a local fan with Andy Reid. I would agree to try and put him in if he likes me. I love Andy Reid. I love his coaching ability. I love him as a person. I love talking to him at the combine years ago when I was coming out. And I think Kansas City can show out and show Tennessee what it really looks like for the new age 2020 style of offense.
Kansas City can rally from 24 points down in 9 minutes. That was ridiculous. Hey, Channing, love talking football with you. So funny. Great stuff. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs, and you can join us anytime. We love having you on. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it anytime. I'm about to run back in Twin Peaks now. If y'all don't know Twin Peaks out there, it's kind of like a hybrid Hooters, but pretty bears running around. Then I'm gonna go to Tootsie's for the second half. Then I'm gonna come back to Twin Peaks. I'm gonna have me a good night today. My wife, she cut me loose. She said, "Go enjoy the game." So I'm really gonna enjoy my night. Y'all have a good one, fella.
All right, Channing, take care.
That was Radio.com NFL insider Channing Crowder on the SDCCU fan hotline. He is funny. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com. And all NFL Radio.com sports insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter for Mercedes-Benz vans. That's a good question. I mean, how do you get yourself geeked up to try and tackle Derrick Henry? And we said it last week. Some of those Raven guys had to lose a little sleep before that game, and now the Chiefs said it'll be their turn.
Yeah. And, you know, what he said about hitting Marshawn and his whole left side going numb. Yeah. Like, then you got to get up.
Then it's the next play.
And they're running right back at you the same way.
Yeah.
I'd be disinterested in tackling Derrick Henry, too, after a while. I'm sorry. It's human nature.
Yeah, go ahead and let him push me in the back 25 yards downfield. At least I don't have to tackle him.
You know what's funny?
That's what Earl Thomas was saying.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that Tony was telling Chris about that earlier, about him pushing him in the back, and you said exactly what Channing Crowder did. You've never seen that in your life.
I've never seen a guy running alongside get stiff-armed so hard that it spins you around 180, as Channing said, and then push you in the, as he said, the small of his back into another defender.
Earl Thomas looked like he was on ice skates.
He did.
He just went sliding off the picture there. It's going to be interesting because I know Kansas City's a touchdown favorite just because they're so powerhouse offensively. And, you know, look, if Kansas City's going to win the Super Bowl, they're going to have to beat two really good defenses on the way.
Here's
Tennessee and probably San Francisco. And I, you know what? Defense usually wins at this stage, Tony. That's what I'm concerned about for Kansas City. It's early in the week, but that's just a thought I had.
They're one of those teams, though, that they have so much firepower. They can play from behind. We know for a fact after watching Baltimore this year, the one thing that they weren't good at was playing from behind.
They got panicked,
and as you heard Channing say, he thinks John blinked.
Yeah,
and I kind of agree with that.
I agree with him. Yeah, they panicked a little bit as soon as they got behind in that game. Kansas City, nothing of the sort as they came back from that big deficit to beat the Houston Texans yesterday. All right. Good NFL talk there. When we come back, we keep rolling. The Big Five is ahead.
And I just want to let everybody know, when we go to break, the first thing that you hear is going to be a promo, and I want you to listen to it. You guys will get it when we go into break.
All right. Everybody, calm down. Get quiet in the car.
It's one of Chris's it's one of Grin and Chris's finest moments.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's all enjoy it then. It's next, and then we're back with more program on 97.3 The Fan.
.437 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello.
You know, you just said something that made me think off the air. How would you like to have our talk show today originate from Houston?
Ooh.
Not only do they have the Astros debacle, but they had the Texans debacle as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't forget they were ahead 24-0 in the second quarter of that game.
It's been a rough 24 hours.
And didn't even come close to winning.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one of the greatest collapses in NFL history in the playoffs. The only worse one I can remember was the Houston Oilers against the Bills way back when they had a 32-point lead and lost that game. But I've never seen a team give up a lead so quickly as the Texans did. So that would be a tough day to do the talk show in Houston.
Yep.
Good luck to those guys.
Good luck. It's time now for our Big Five. But first, we're going to take a look at some traffic with Sue D.
Okay.
This report brought to you by Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunch Bars. Fire crews on hand with a crash on Southbound 5 at SeaWorld Drive. Just
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Moved out of middle lanes to the right shoulder. Then three cars still block traffic southbound 5 at Front Street. You got it stop and go, the 52 into National City. And a fender bender also moved to the shoulder now southbound 5. Watch for this one just north of Balboa. The satisfying crunch of Nature Valley Crunchy Bars can keep your family going, which means more outside fun for you. And with the whole grain oats and real delicious honey, it's really tasty, too. Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunch Bars. Sue D with Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No. Whatever it is, no.
Gwen and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
You forgot legendary.
Sorry, I was playing my violin.
In your intro to your own segment.
By the way, I redid the countdown, so tomorrow we're going to hear the brand new countdown open that I spent more time on than all of them combined.
He had to send it to me over the weekend to get approval from my household.
Yes.
Really good.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to that.
Okay. All right. You guys are talkative. If you have any Big Five topics, find me on Twitter at Matt Scraby. And you can find Thomas at Thomas71. Let's get going.
Number five.
Why is it so awkward in here?
Just waiting.
We're
for
waiting
you to
for you to start talking.
Okay. I mean, you guys could have made a noise or something. Jeez,
how's that?
Thanks. Saints. I don't know if you guys saw this, but this was crazy on Twitter. Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas was not playing this weekend, but he sure made his presence felt, and maybe not the right presence, because the Saints wide receiver did not hold back on Twitter, watching as the 49ers defeated the Vikings 27-10 on Saturday. He tweeted quite a few times before throwing shade at the Vikings, who defeated his team this week, or the team the week before. He started out by saying, laughing, crying emoji, that's what you all get. Or no, that's the last one. But and then he just said these things. Y'all talked all that poop emoji. I don't think anyone got more than one catch. I had seven with a broken hand, and I don't want to hear it. And it was laughing, crying emoji again. And then in all caps, garbage time yards do not count. Cut off the game. I can't relate. And then I don't know what this means, but he said, now go choppa that. So I'm not sure what that is in reference to. But Michael Thomas not happy. Chris, do you like what Michael Thomas did on Twitter over the weekend?
I am a big Michael Thomas fan, but I think when you get beat, you got to shut up. Pretty simple. I mean, yeah, maybe the Vikings didn't have much of a game Saturday against the 49ers, but they had a pretty good game against you, Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
And I know Michael Thomas individually did better than any of the Viking receivers did in the 49er game, but it's not his spot to be bagging on their performance after they just knocked him out of the playoffs. It's sad. Sour grapes. It sounds bad. Looks bad for Michael Thomas.
Yeah,
I'm a big Michael Thomas fan, but I don't like this.
He's not usually a trash talker, right? Like this. Like publicly like this, I don't think. But
maybe he had a big bet on the Vikings or something and he was just mad.
Tony, do you like what Michael Thomas did on Twitter over the weekend?
Doesn't bother me.
Interesting.
If you follow Michael Thomas, you know that he mixes it up with fans all the time. So this isn't anything new, per se. And I liked his commentary. Those guys were going at him. He was going at them. And ultimately, the goal for these guys is to win a Super Bowl. So as he put it best, there's a spot on the couch right next to me that you guys will now fill. And listen,
wait a minute. If you would have read me that one, I would have laughed.
The thing is that, yes, Vikings did win. But trash talking extends farther than just the week that y'all play. It goes for a long time. as we saw with the Titans. You know, they had their big trust up there doing...
Tajay Sharp.
Yeah, Tajay Sharp doing the Mark Ingram. Ingram didn't play them. That's just kind of... But people remember things. And they got their chance. He got up on that podium and gave it back to him. I didn't mind what Michael Thomas was doing. As long as you have thick skin,
mm-hmm.
we didn't give it back. It seems like this was all in fun. Like, they were throwing shots. Minnesota Vikings fans were taking shots at him. He was giving it back. I'm cool with that, as long as you're not sensitive to what they're throwing at you.
See, I felt like he was actually talking to the players by saying, y'all talked all that poop emoji. I don't think anyone got more than a catch. But you think he's mixing it up with the fans.
He
mostly.
Is. He says you can see the fans getting right back at him. Boy, you're talking from the couch. Don't nobody want to hear that.
He couldn't be mixing it up with Stephon Diggs during the game. I mean, Stephon Diggs is playing a game.
No, I know that. I'm saying that he's commenting on the play on the field, but I didn't take it that way, Tony, and you kind of changed my mind on it a little bit.
Didn't change my mind. I still don't like it.
Good. Chris is going to absolutely love this next topic in the Big Five. Let's get to it, Thomas.
Number four.
And hit me with our friend on ESPN. You know who I'm talking about. Joe Tessitore, because
showtime!
Monday Night Football may be making a big signing to help save it. Michael McCarthy of Front Office Sports reported that ESPN was preparing an offer to make CBS's Tony Romo the highest paid sports broadcaster in history. McCarthy said the offer would be between $10 and $14 million annually to attempt to lure him from CBS. That report broke the same day Romo was calling the game yesterday between the Chiefs and the Texans for CBS. Andrew Marchand of the New York Post also reported Sunday that ESPN was expected to go quote-unquote all in for Romo. And how much money is that really, the $10 to $14 million? To put that in perspective, the largest base salary Romo ever made as a Dallas Cowboys quarterback was $8.5 million, according to Spotrac. So, Tony, would Tony Romo save Monday Night Football?
I mean, as much as my partner dislikes the commentary from Joe Tessitore, I don't necessarily think Monday Night Football is dying because of the announcers. I think it's dying because they put bad games on there most of the time. Now, having a guy like Tony Romo would certainly bring a few more eyeballs and a few more ears to listen. So to save, it might be a little strong, but he certainly will bring a different element and a better broadcast to Monday Night Football should he join, which is why they're going to throw all that money at him.
Chris, go ahead. What do you think? Do you think
he could
save Monday
Night
Football?
The problem that I have is I think that Tony Romo is a different kind of color guy and needs a really, really sharp play-by-play guy to give him the room to do what he does best.
That's what a guy is supposed to do.
And I think Jim Nantz is able to do that. Will Joe Tessitore really be able to step out of the way and let Tony Romo
Showtime.
Shine?
I think they're getting rid of the
well,
whole
it didn't
crew.
Say that.
No, it didn't. You're right.
It just said they're
and
going
I thought
after
about
Tony
that earlier.
Romo. So, I'm not a Tessitore fan, and I really don't think he'd be able to allow Romo to shine the way Romo can shine.
I think the boss says, you got a word limit, buddy. Let Romo do his thing.
Well, that's easier said than done, I think.
No,
for
I know.
Guys.
I know. And I actually really like Tony Romo. I didn't like him in the beginning when he was predicting all the plays and everything.
Why
but
didn't
I think
you
he,
like that?
I just thought,
loved it. I was amazed last year. That AFC Championship game I thought was awesome.
Except for Scraby.
Here, get the recording out. Get the tape out. I was being a hater.
Yes, you are.
I was being a hater. But I love him
Typical.
Now. I think he's great. I want to see him on Monday Night Football. But Jim Nantz and him are really good. They have a good rapport.
Good
yeah, I'd like
they
to
do.
See Jim Nantz and him on Monday Night Football. Then I would turn the sound up.
Jim,
CBS isn't going to give
will
a
never
boat.
Gonna
like, we're going to lose one. We ain't losing both.
No.
Number three.
All right, over to a sad subject, because the Antonio Brown saga has taken another turn, and now it's kind of a turn for the weird and a turn for the worse. Several Hollywood Police Department officers arrived at Brown's home this morning around 10 a.m. local time.
This is Hollywood, Florida? Or Hollywood, California.
Oh, you
it's
know
Hollywood,
what?
Hollywood, Florida. It's
you know
not
what?
California.
I didn't even think that there was another place called Hollywood.
Yeah, there is. There's Hollywood, Florida.
Well, he was in Florida, and his the mother to his children, Chelsea Chris, was there too. They have three children, and Brown, well, I just pulled a little bit. He went live on Instagram, and he was yelling at the police officers. I just pulled a little bit of it, and here's a little bit of flavor of what happened on that Instagram live.
Can't do nothing. F***ing white fish bogey. Out of here, you Come on, Polo. Out of here. Police.
That was 7.5 seconds, and you can't even tell anything. That was how the whole video was.
Well, why did the police come?
Well, because the mother of his children is allowed to come to the house so that she can pick up the kids to go to school. Antonio Brown previously evicted her, so he called the police to have her
removed from the premises.
Brown claims
overstayed her welcome.
Brown claims during these handoff, Chelsea tried to steal one of his cars and he wasn't having it, screaming at her and the police that he wanted her off his property ASAP and screamed insults.
So she came to pick up the kids and then, according to him, tried to steal his car.
Yes. But that's not the weirdest part.
That isn't?
No.
Weirder than that?
During the end of the exchange, I guess Antonio Brown grabs a bag of gummy candies shaped like male body parts and throws them into the street at the police and his the mother of his children in her direction.
Through gummy
male
bears.
Body parts. Screaming at her to have a bag of bleep.
Okay.
That's all I could say. So, Chris, has Antonio Brown reached the point of no return?
I have nothing to add. I think it speaks for itself. What do you want me to say?
I mean, you know, there's no way. I mean, there is a way, but he's put himself out there too far now, I think.
Why do police even? I guess they got to respond, right?
They have to.
If he calls and says, my ex-wife's trying to steal my car, so they have to show up, and then he just screams at them and then throws stuff at him.
Yes.
Speaks for itself.
Tony?
Yeah, I refuse to waste any more of my energy on Antonio Brown and this whole ridiculousness.
Even with the bag of
candies? What he threw
even
at
even with
her.
The bag of gummy bears.
Gummy bears.
It wasn't gummy bears.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. You made that apparently
clear.
You were so excited by the fact it wasn't actually gummy bears.
Because the actual object, when you look it up, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's
don't.
They don't
strange.
Need to look it up.
Don't worry about it. You made it clear.
Thank you, Thomas. People have been trying to find ways to make the NBA All-Star game a little more enjoyable, and Blazers star CJ McCollum said something that fans are all about. He said, quote, "They should have a one-on-one tournament during the All-Star break for money. Dame Lillard proposed the idea where you could challenge people," end quote. Tony, would you like this, and could this be a reality for the NBA?
Hell yeah, I would like this. A one-on-one competition?
Where you challenge each other?
Where you challenge, that means, and if Dame Lillard's talking about it, that means he's not going to challenge some scrub. He's going to challenge somebody who is at the top of the list. That'll give us something to watch. One-on-one games of six, I don't know. But then you
up
all
to 11?
Yeah, I think that would be pretty cool, personally.
What do you think, Chris?
I want you all to look up the Vitalis NBA one-on-one challenge back in the early 1970s. At halftime of the NBA games, way back when, they did have a one-on-one tournament 1 year. The winner of it was Bob Lanier, the center of the Detroit Pistons.
Oh, it was 1972.
Okay. And he just backed everybody down and made little hook shots at the rim. But every team had like one or two representatives, and it was must watch. It was
that
more important than the game.
That is a brilliant idea.
It was more important than the game. Now, the reason I think they could do that back then is because they probably offered a $50,000 prize or something, and that was huge money to these guys. The reason it would be difficult... Go ahead.
It's $15,000.
$15,000
was all
it took.
So funny you say that. It's right in front of my face.
It only took $15,000 to get them all to come out and participate in this. But you'd have to... I don't know how much money you'd have to put on the line to get... Like, would LeBron participate? Would... I mean, maybe Damian Lillard would participate, but would all of the stars participate? Back in the day, yeah, this was a big deal to them. And it was a great event. You can see some YouTube videos of some of those games, I'm pretty sure. But it was
I'm watching
really
one right now.
Are you? It was pretty cool, man. They played one-on-one.
You could probably shame somebody into this contest nowadays with social media.
It was phenomenal. I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal. And who wouldn't love to see Damian Lillard go one-on-one up to 11 points?
Who do you think he would challenge? Who's he got beef with? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah,
like Russell Westbrook?
You don't need to have a beef.
I know, because they're
great...
actually tight off the court.
Oh. But let's just say it was Russell Westbrook. That would be a heck of a matchup. I'd be watching.
Everybody would want James Harden.
Oh,
Imagine James Harden in one-on-one?
I just went to the inflation calculator, and in 1972, in today's money, they were making $92,000. That's how much they were offering to these players. So $15,000 in 1972 is $92,000 today.
Well, In those days, though, that was a ton of money for those guys because they weren't making the same paycheck.
That's an easy. That might be like 96 grand
right there. I tuned in every Saturday or Sunday, whatever the NBA game was on, and I didn't care who was playing, but I watched halftime.
That would be sweet.
Now, I watched halftime every single week.
And you know what you could do is you can make it much like the dunk contest. Three, you only invite a certain amount of guys. They get some of the best one-on-one. They can decline. You go to somebody else. And
right.
I think that would work.
You could have a 16-man.
Far less risk of injury, too, in a one-on-one tournament.
16-man. That'd be the whole there would be no all-star game, just this tournament. That's fine with me because I haven't watched an all-star game in 20 years.
Number one.
The odds are out for who will win the Super Bowl now that the divisional weekend is over, and the Kansas City Chiefs are once again the favorites to win the Super Bowl. With the 49ers right on their heels, the Chiefs are the favorites at 11-10 as of this morning at Caesars Sportsbook. The 49ers are next at 7-5, followed by the Titans at 15-2 and the Green Bay Packers at 17-2. So, Chris,
yes.
Do you think the Chiefs are now the favorite to win the Super Bowl?
No, I don't. I think they and the 49ers are both equally favored, and I tend to lean a little bit toward the defense over the offense, but I understand why the Chiefs are favored, because bettors tend to be drawn to great offenses,
mm-hmm.
and they see what the Chiefs put up, 51 points yesterday, 41 in a row, and they think that that team's unstoppable, and it'll be very interesting to me to see if they're able to accomplish these same things. Remember last year in the AFC Championship game, the Chiefs did not score in the first half against New England, and people thought that was impossible. Remember in the Super Bowl last year, the Rams scored 3 points against the Patriots, and people thought that was impossible. Defenses have a way of winning at this time of year. So I'm not sold yet on the Chiefs 100%, but I can understand why they're made the favorite.
Tony, do you think the Chiefs are the favorite to win the Super Bowl?
I do. I think the Chiefs are a favorite. They have home field moving forward. They've exercised their demon, so to speak. In terms,
well, I was ready to get all over today
I was too.
Can you believe they blew another one at home?
I was certainly ready to too. And then I looked on my phone like 10 minutes later, and it was they were up.
Yeah.
I just like the way they're peaking. You know, last year when they kind of got out the gates really fast. Kind of had to weather the storm, and then they started to kind of tailed off towards the end of the year. But this year, they started off good. Then they kind of had a lull because Mahomes was out with injury, and it took them a little bit to come back. And I just think they're playing good football at the right time. Their defense came on in the second half. Second half of the season, seems like their offense is starting to come back around with the big plays. I really do like Kansas City. I think obviously the second to them is the 49ers. There's no question.
But, you know, I want to point something out also in defense of the Chiefs. They gave up 31 points yesterday. The first touchdown was broken coverage. They just didn't cover a guy,
right.
And Kenny Stills ran down the field for a touchdown. That's just a mistake. The second touchdown was on a block punt. The third touchdown was on a fumbled punt at their own 5-yard line. And then after that, they didn't give the Texans anything.
Yeah, they only gave up the one.
By that time, the game was over.
Right.
So even though they wind up giving up 31 points, the Chiefs' defense really didn't play all that badly yesterday. It's something to consider.
All right. Do we have an ending to that? No? All right. So the hour's Grand Slam giveaway, this hour's Grand Slam giveaway is Above.
Above.
Text Above to 72881 for your chance to win your share of over $180,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. Messages and data rates apply. Good luck. From 97.3 to Fan. All right, 5 o'clock hour is right around the corner, which means the whip around.
Reset.
Is right around the corner. We'll reset this Gwen and Chris show. Talking Aztecs, talking playoff football, talking big Major League Baseball scandal out in Houston. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.